The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him, as the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then he addressed this parable to them. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that is coming to me." So the father divided up the property. Some days later, his younger son collected all his belongings and went off to a distant land, where he squandered his money on dissolute living. After he had spent everything, a great famine broke out in that country, and he was in dire need. So he attached himself to one of the property class of the place, who sent him to his farm to take care of the pigs. He longed to fill his belly with the husks that were fodder for the pigs, but no one made a move to give him anything. Coming to his senses at last, he said, "How many hired hands at my father's place have more than enough to eat, while here I am starving? I will break away and return to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" With that, he set off for his father's house. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was deeply moved. He ran out to meet him, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Take the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, because the son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." Then the celebration began. Meanwhile, the other son was out on the land. As he neared the house on his way home, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him the reason for the dancing and the music. The servant answered, "Your brother is home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back in good health." The son grew angry at this and would not go in. But his father came out and began to plead with him. He said in reply to his father, "For years now, I have slaved for you. I never disobeyed one of your orders, yet you never gave me so much as a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. Then, when this son of yours returns after having gone through your property with loose women, you killed the fatted calf for him." "My son," replied the father, "you are with me always, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. This brother of yours is dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." This is the gospel of the Lord. Today, in the Latin liturgy we used to celebrate, is called Laetare Sunday. Laetare is the imperative of the verb rejoice. as we read through the gospel of the prodigal son, we wondered, when will the word rejoice come up? Came up at the very end. As we've just heard, our Lord, to make clear how much he loves repentant sinners, he told what is called the greatest short story of all time, the story of the prodigal son. He might just as well have been the story of the prodigal daughter. Recall what our Lord says. And describes how the younger of the two sons demanded his share of the estate and then went off and wasted his money on loose women. Finally he came to his senses, came back, told his father, "I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy even to be called your son. Have pity on me." The prodigal son did not come to a closed door and have to rap and beg his way in. The father was waiting for him. And the father, embracing his son, threw a big feast to celebrate. While the celebration was going on, the older son, who had always been faithful to his father, heard the music. What's going on? He was told, "Your brother came back and your father is celebrating." "He's doing what?" "He's celebrating." The older boy wouldn't even go in. Father had to come out. And the older brother complained bitterly. "What are you doing?" he told his father. "Here I've been faithful to you over these years. And then this bum, he doesn't even say when my brother comes home, when this son of yours comes home, you celebrate." The father tells him, "Really, it is God telling all of us, this brother of yours was lost, has been found. He was dead, has come back to life. So he must rejoice." How we need, my dear fellow sinners, how we all need to be told the lesson that our Lord is teaching us in the parable of the prodigal son. There are two mysteries that I've been teaching in my 40 years in the priesthood. Two incomprehensible mysteries of our faith. One in heaven, the Holy Trinity. The other on earth, our liberty, our freedom is a mystery, and the most mysterious feature of our liberty is that we have the incredible, incomprehensible freedom of saying no to God. You don't explain that. You don't comprehend that. You believe it. Surely a mystery. Well then, a mystery better be rational. It had better be believable. Why, we ask, why has God, dare we call it, gifted us with the power of freedom? Everybody, come about, everybody is talking about freedom. And now choice has become a synonym for murder. Yes, we have freedom. Yes, we can choose. And we can even choose to disobey God. We had better make sense of this mystery. It is incomprehensible, but it should not be unintelligible. Why, we ask, why does God allow us to disobey Him, abuse our freedom, and sin? The parable of the prodigal son gives us some understanding. God is all-loving. Except for His love, none of us would be here. 9 months before we were born, we were exactly, as I keep repeating, mathematically nothing. And except for the love of God, we would be what we were before we became what we are. And that is, I repeat, exactly nothing. It is God's love, then, that brought us into existence. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you. However, God wanted to reveal to us how deeply, more deeply than we could ever have even conceived, He really loves us. That is one reason we tremble when we say it, but we must say it. As far as we can understand the divine logic in allowing us to sin, God has allowed us to sin, hear it, that He might be able to love us more than He would have loved us had we not sinned. I repeat, you don't explain that. You believe it. However, that's only half the lesson. Why does God allow us to sin? That He might be able to exercise His mercy. Mercy is not just love. Mercy is generous love. Mercy is offended love. Mercy is costly, expensive love. Mercy is loving those who don't love you. And God wanted to be sure that we knew that. Mercy is love that suffers. Authentic, honest to God love suffers for the one and from the one that it loves. So what's the second lesson that today's parable is meant to teach us? How we need, beginning with the speaker, how we all desperately need to know that if we're going to really love as Christ wants us to, we're not just going to love God by loving those whom God puts into our lives, but that we will love mercifully, love those who not only do not love us, but maybe could not even care less whether we exist. Today's parable of the prodigal son is both a lesson of God's mercy shown to the repentant prodigal, but you're also being told in God's name, do not be scandalized at the incredible, unspeakable mercy of God. Sure, we are to love God with our whole heart. Of course, we are to give Him everything that He wants because He is God. But this God is to be loved even when He seems to be unequal in His loving. Oh, not those scoundrels, those bums. In fact, we really prove our love for God when we love Him in those who not only do not love us, but in those who are hostile to God. What a lesson we need to learn to love sinners. Love those who not only do not love us, but do not love God. That is a closing lesson of today's parable. We are told by our Lord to rejoice have the mercy that God shows to people who by all human standards have no claim on God's love. How we need to learn this lesson from God. He loves sinners. He really loves them. That's why he became man, to be able to die for sinners. Need I tell you, we are living in our day. And not coincidentally in a country that is in so large measure abandoned God. If we're going to win sinners back to God, there's only one formula. And take my word for it, it's a hard one. Is love them. I'm honest when I tell you, for me, my most demanding charity is loving heretics. And that is the secret. Loving those who do not love God, so that sinners will see in us something of what Christ wants to teach us. In the parable of the prodigal son, not only does he love sinners, but once they are converted, honest, I wouldn't dare say this on my own authority, he loves them more, right, than the 100 just who had never rejected God, Lord Jesus. How we need to understand your mercy. And understanding your mercy means practicing mercy. Not only loving those who do not love us, but even our lips tremble when we say it. Loving those who do not love you, who hate you, so that sinners, in seeing your love for them reflected in us, might come back to the God from whom they've strayed, so that might be, as you told us, dear Savior, greater joy in heaven over one sinner doing penance than over the 100 who had never disobeyed your law. Dear Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.